Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. It's Thursday, July 24th, 2014. Episode 10.04, the AFC East Preview Show. Long show today. I'll be taking a look at the Bills, Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins. Greg Campbell will join me in our new segment, The Fans Take, to talk about the Buffalo Bills. And also in The Fans Take, Nacho steps in to represent the New England Patriots. I have both a rant and a rave today, and they both involve Browns rookie QB Johnny Manziel. Got a couple of good old boys to talk about. I'll give you my thoughts on Tony Dungy's take on why he would not draft Michael Sam. I'll give you my own take on the Ravens' Ray Rice and only getting 2-game suspension by the NFL. Jamal Charles gets some new money with the Kansas City Chiefs, and it looks like now Marshawn Lynch will hold out of Seahawks camp as he seeks for more money. Plus, we'll have a quick interview with Oakland Raiders linebacker Nick Roach. You know what? With all that going, let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Wow, it seems like I have been away for a month. And you know what? It actually is true. I've been away for a month, a little over a month. It's good to be back. Football is here, people. Training camps are open all over the place. And today I'll start by taking a look at the AFC East. Huh, those pesky Buffalo Bills, the evil empire of the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, and the New York Football Jets. Good stuff coming up with all four of those teams. I'll give you my take and whether I believe those teams will either improve or do worse than they did last year. Interesting chats as we kick off our new Fans Take segment. Greg Campbell previously of the Buffalo Bills Review will join me to talk Buffalo Bills. And Nacho, you have all heard of us talk about Nacho on the show from time to time. He's joining in and representing the New England Patriots. He'll have an interesting talk there. Also, linebacker Nick Roach of the Oakland Raiders is going to talk about his return to London. He was there a few years ago when he played with the Chicago Bears. So it'll be cool to talk with him. And, you know, Oakland Raiders are now, you know, getting on board with NFL Rants and Raves. So I'm pretty cool with that. So let's see here. What's going on? You know, last time it was all about this guy. Godzilla. I had seen the movie over and over again. The summer of movies is in a tizzy right now, people. Lucy, Hercules, Guardians of the Galaxy, all starting within the next 7 days. I just don't know how I'm going to get all of that in. I've got training camps to get to. I've still got my girls that I'm apparently taking to Raging Waters and Disneyland sometime in the next several weeks. And I've got a niece moving out of my home. She had been staying with me for a little while, but now it looks like I have a nephew coming in to my home. So there's a lot of craziness happening for me, but I'm really excited. I'm glad that football is back. I cannot wait to get out to Cowboys camp. These are the camps that I'm going to be trying to hit over the next several weeks. Dallas Cowboys, San Diego Chargers, the San Francisco 49ers, the Oakland Raiders, and if I can squeeze it in, the Arizona Cardinals. So I will bring you lots of pictures and audio, hopefully, from all of those locations. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the last team to grant me credentials today was the Dallas Cowboys. So finally that is going to happen. And I am very excited about that. And since we're on the Dallas Cowboys, first would like to say rest in peace to Robert Newhouse, former running back, fullback with the Dallas Cowboys. Passed away at the age of 64. He played his entire career, 12 seasons, with the Dallas Cowboys. He passed away this Tuesday after a bout with a heart disease. So all of our thoughts and prayers are with the Newhouse family, the Dallas Cowboy organization. He was a great guy, old number 44. Whenever I'm in Vegas and I'm throwing the dice at the craps table, Whenever I'm looking for an eight, I yell for old Robert Newhouse, 4-4, to come up on the table, and he's going to be missed. And like I said, our condolences and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Now, in other news, I was going to be reporting that Kansas City Chiefs running back Jamal Charles was not going to show up to Chiefs camp today. But instead, Charles got some money. Money, money, money. I mean, he got paid, added another 2 years to his contract there with the Kansas City Chiefs. And instead of Jamal Charles holding out, now that he got his contract extension and he got his money, it looks like Marshawn Lynch is going to be holding out of Seahawks camp. Marshawn Lynch will not be in attendance when the Seahawks open training camp. He decided that he's looking for more money as well. Now, right now what Seattle is saying is that Lynch will get fined $30,000 for every day he misses camp. Since, you know, he signed a 4-year, $30 million deal with the Seahawks, so he's got several years left on his contract, and he's scheduled to earn $5.5 million in 2014. But, you know, if Lynch says, yo, man, Jamal Charles had 2 years left on his contract, he held out, he got a fat contract extension, I'm Super Bowl winning Marshawn Lynch, and you know what, I bring the beast mode to Seattle, so I'm going to sit out till I get some more money. So very interested to see how that plays out there in Seattle. Look, Seattle's not like they're made they just got money to hold out. They just gave safety Earl Thomas a whole bunch of money. New deal, the cornerback Richard Sherman, he got a lot of money. So I guess Marshawn Lynch is saying, hey, you know, where's my money? The thing is, Marshawn, they haven't even given Russell Wilson, the quarterback, the big money that he stands to make. So they can't pay everybody, big dog, and you're still under contract. You're making $5.5 million. The difference between you and Jamal Charles, I think Jamal Charles was going to make nothing this year. I think only a couple million dollars. So I'm not sure that Marshawn Lynch is going to get what he's seeking, but he's giving it a try. And according to Dan Hansis of the NFL.com, he's going to sit out. So we'll see how that plays out. Now that training camp is upon us, all the training camp drama is going to start. That's what I'm talking about. It just, I'm going to hold out. I want this. I want that. People doing this and that. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know what? Speaking of crazy, the NFL, the National Football League, has come out with its punishment for running back Ray Rice of the Baltimore Ravens. And although the Ravens knew this was coming, I don't think anybody could have foreseen that Ray Rice was only getting 2 days, a two-game suspension. According to NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, Ray Rice will be suspended the first two games of the regular season per the NFL conduct policy. Personnel conduct policy, and the league has informed the Ravens of their plan. I don't know if this is kind of a slap in the wrist. You know, yeah, the Ray Rice and his wife, you know, then fiance, he kind of like hit her and kind of knocked her unconscious. But they then, since they've gotten married, everything's okay. She dropped the charges. There's no more legal repercussions to go towards him, and they both kind of like came out and did that interview where she said, you know, she was part of the problem, and everybody kind of backlashed on that. And then they both went and met with Commissioner Roger Goodell before the punishment was levied. I don't know what kind of message the commissioner right now is sending to people, where, you know, he is saying in essence that this egregious error in lack of judgment by Ray Rice in striking a woman. I know whatever happened there, but he physically hit his fiance at the time, now wife. And And what you're saying is that's only worthy of a 2-game suspension. But if you go out and you do illegal drugs, illegal substances, that's 4 games or sometimes half, you know, half a season. Or as we'll get to Justin Blackmon in a little bit, you're suspended indefinitely. Yeah, drugs are bad, and performance-enhancing drugs, they're bad. But you're only physically harming yourself. You're not harming another individual. That's what Ray Rice did. He physically beat another person, and he's only getting the 2-game suspension. That's kind of a slap on the wrist. That is, I think it could the easiest suspension would have been just 1 game. They weren't going to do that, but 2 games for physically beating another person, especially that person being a female. It's gonna be a field day here. Let's see what all of the feminist organizations have to say about that. But I think it's not going to be looked on too kindly, especially with a league that's trying to get more women involved, trying to get more women watching the league. They've got the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everybody wears the pink. And they're trying to get, you know, they got the commercials where the gear, they have gear that they're selling and gearing towards women. Well, you got to do a little bit more when a player, especially a player of Ray Rice's status, one of the star players, star running back for the Baltimore Ravens, and he beats up on a woman and you only give him a 2-game suspension for that. I don't see how that is going to be looked at positively. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying how it's going to be perceived, because we're going to be talking today a lot about stuff and how people and especially the media perceive things that happen within the National Football League. So speaking on that, I want to talk and turn my attention to Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy is now a commentator and analyst for NBC, Football Night in America. And recently, it was said that Tony Dungy had said he did not believe he would have drafted Michael Sam. Now, Michael Sam is the 7th-round draft pick of the St. Louis Rams. Before the draft, he had come out and openly declared himself as being homosexual. And Tony Dungy was asked. Now, he was asked, would you have drafted him? He said, I wouldn't have taken him. Not because I don't believe Michael Sam should have a chance to play, but I wouldn't want to deal with all of it. And everybody may say, oh, Tony Dungy shouldn't have said that. That is so bad. I cannot believe that Tony Dungy, who's a spiritual man, is not open enough to give the chance and hire and draft a gay man. That's not at all what Tony Dungy was talking about, people. And if you think that is what Tony Dungy was talking about, you don't know him very well, okay? Tony Dungy is a man who has helped football players of all shapes and sizes and colors and sexual orientations get through problems. That is what the man has done. Just ask Michael Vick. Just ask Ray Lewis. Just ask any of these other players that have had some serious problems with drugs and alcohol and how he has helped them get through all of that. Now, I think what the media has done here, and the media is going to take a beating from me today. The media is just taking this out of context and saying, well, you know, he's not open-minded. I can't believe that he would say that, and he's a man who's got a big audience, and for him to say that is just shows that he's just a closed-minded religious fool. And that's not the case at all. What he's talking about, at the time he was asked, it had come out that Michael Sam was going to be doing a reality show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Yeah, so it sounds like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to deal with all that. First of all, it's going to be a media circus because everybody's going to come here. And it's not just going to be sports journalists and sports writers and sports networks that are going to be coming to talk to Michael Sam. It's going to be entertainment networks and E! Network and TMZ and the Entertainment Channel and Entertainment Weekly and all these other organizations that handle entertainment the entertainment industry, they're all going to want to come and be around and find out how it is and how is the locker room and ask all the teammates about how it is to play with a gay player. And it's just going to be crazy. And ask the St. Louis Rams, so far it's been crazy. And you add the fact that at the time he was going to do a reality show, it's even more crazy. So I think Tony Dungy, speaking as a previous head coach, said, I don't want that kind of distraction in my locker room. I don't want all those cameras. I don't want all that media to be here day in and day out and asking not only my player, but other players on my football team about his sexual orientation. Because that does not help the football team. That has nothing to do with football. And you want to make my team focus on stuff other than football. That's not what I want. Especially not what I want right now during training camp. That's why I think what the St. Louis Rams did was fantastic. They told all the media, come for this one day. We will have a press conference. Then afterwards, we will let Michael Sam come out and have his little press conference. And at that point, you can ask him anything you want. But after that, we are going to treat him like a seventh-round draft pick. He's not going to be open to interviews like, you know, seventh-round draft picks usually are not. He's going to come in here and try to make this football team. And that's what the Rams did, and I think that's a great way to handle it. And I'm just saying, Tony Dungy was talking about, I don't want to have to handle that. I don't want the media circus. Now, sure, some people are saying, well, what are you talking about? It's always a media circus with or surrounding a football team. There's always tons of media. Well, not really. Not for most organizations. If you're the New York Giants, the New York Jets, the Dallas Cowboys, the New England Patriots, and now probably the Seattle Seahawks because you're the Super Bowl defending Super Bowl champions, yes, you have all of the media circus, and those teams have the media circus all the time. But the Rams, the Colts, the Bears, the Dolphins, other than the local beat writers that are there at every game and every press conference and every practice, they don't have thousands of media outlets requesting credentials to come and talk to a seventh-round draft pick. And that's what Tony Dungy was talking about. That is exactly what he was talking about. And for people to say that it's not very enlightened and he's closed-minded and, you know, that he's hypocritical because he helps people like Mike Vick, but he won't help Michael Sam. That's just ridiculous. You don't know the situation. You've taken a few words out of context and out of the report, knowing what he was talking about, and you're making a big deal out of nothing. That's what I believe. And I'm kind of, you know, I was all for drafting Michael Sam. I said, take him. Give him a shot. This guy is the co-defensive player of the year in the SEC. Now, you've got to be some kind of talent to pull that off. Not just any Joe Schmo off the street can be the co-defensive player in the SEC. That's big time right there. So he deserved a chance to come out and see if he could make a football team. The Rams gave him that chance. There were 31 other teams who passed on him, not once, some twice. And Tony Dungy was just saying, I would have been one of those teams that passed on him because I didn't want everything that come along with it. And now he's getting, you know, raked across the coals for it. I think that's wrong. And I think, once again, that's the media taking something and blowing it out of proportion. Since we're on the media, I'm going to skip my good old boy segment right now. And I'm going to go straight to my rant. Right now, I am ranting on the media. And I'm ranting on all of you folks, especially out there on the part of the mothership, ESPN, and the Foxes, and the CBSs, and the Sports Illustrated, and all of you fools that are tweeting and texting nonsense about Cleveland Brown quarterback Johnny Manziel and what he does in his free time, in his spare time, off the football field. We have become a media-obsessed society. We got to have the news right now, every second. And what you guys are doing are following this kid around everywhere he goes. Goes to Vegas, goes to parties, goes to, you know, the championship game in Houston, wherever he's going. And you're following him around like lost little puppy dogs, waiting for him to do something outrageous so that you can blast him on it. You know what? I don't know any kid ages 18 to 22 years old who all of a sudden gets $30 million thrust upon him, isn't immediately going to say, I have a day off, so guess what? I'm going to Vegas and go drink it up with his friends and act a little crazy. He is a 22-year-old kid. That is what he is, who now all of a sudden has been thrust in the limelight, and you know what? He's got deep pockets, all right? And you know what kids like that do? They do stupid, silly things. They text videos of themselves saying, what? I'm on the phone. I can't hear you, holding about $5,000 wad of bills, saying, I can't hear you. I've got too much money in my ears. That's what kids do. And you know how come you don't see or hear about all the other kids that age with that kind of money doing that stuff? Because their name's not Johnny Manziel. All right, that's the only reason you don't hear about it, because they don't have cameras and reporters and crazy TMZ investigative dudes all over the place waiting for you to do something like that so they could take your image or your video and post it out for the whole world to see. Leave the kid alone. I know some football players right now who played in the 80s and 90s and are saying, thank God the media was not this prevalent and there wasn't Twitter and Facebook and Instagrams all over the place and Vines for videos, and because I would have gotten caught doing some stupid, silly stuff. And those are players, ex-players, alumni of the NFL. They know that they are lucky. They played in a time where the media did not have this kind of access to players. Leave the kid alone. I asked these three questions. Has he broken any laws? No. Is he doing anything illegal? No. Is he hurting anyone? No. So until he does one of those things, does something illegal, breaks a law, hurts somebody, then come and talk to me. Then I will hear everything that you've got to see, because right now what I'm seeing is he is drinking and having a good time. And yeah, maybe he's getting a little drunk, but he is doing it, you know, out with friends. He's not getting caught driving while intoxicated, so he's probably got some drivers with him, which is a good idea. I've always said get drivers with you. So he's not getting caught doing bad things. He's just doing silly, stupid things. And you know what? If I were 22 years old and I had $30 million in my pocket, I would probably be doing those same silly, stupid things that Johnny Manziel is doing. Let him play some football. Let him play some football. Let him make mistakes on the football field. And then let's come back and talk about that. But right now, stop all your crazy nonsense about, he was in Las Vegas again this weekend. Well, you know what? The coach gave him the weekend off. And as a matter of fact, he went and said, Coach, I'm going to Vegas. Is that okay? And the coach said, good. Go have some fun. Let off some steam. We'll see you back at practice on Monday. He was there first thing Monday morning, ready for practice, doing everything the coach asked him to do. Leave the kid alone, please. I don't want to rant about the media anymore regarding that. Just be done with it. Ooh, I'm sorry. I got a little crazy. I got a little crazy there, folks. But now it's time, because since I've been here, there have been 5 good old boys. So let's talk about them.
Just a good old boy.
That's a good old boy right there.
Never meaning no harm.
You know he never means you no harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in
trouble with the law since the day he was born. Oh, my God. We're going to go back to July 4th. The 4th of July, I was in Texas when I heard about this story. I was with my family for the 4th of July. Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon arrested for a DUI in North Carolina. Now, that's just plain stupid. Okay, Josh, that's just dumb. You are waiting to hear what's going to happen with your suspension. You don't know what the commissioner is going to do. I think you've appealed it. And here you are, you go and you get charged with a DUI. How stupid is that? How idiotic and moronic of a person do you have to be to know that you don't go and drive while intoxicated in North Carolina when you're sitting waiting to hear about your appeal on a suspension? That's just, my mind was blown. I heard about it. I was getting ready to go out and buy some fireworks and have a good time. Like, woo, it's hot out here in Texas. It's hotter than the June bug, but nigga on the 4th of July. Woo! And all of a sudden, I hear, yo, man, Josh Gordon got arrested. What? That's exactly what I heard. Exactly what I heard when all of a sudden I was told that Josh Gordon was arrested for a DUI. I said,
what?
That's exactly what I said. I could not believe it. You do not have 2 cents of a brain to know that you cannot get into any trouble right now while you're waiting to hear about your suspension. I mean, that's just moronic. Come on, Josh. Whew, man. I mean, that's just, that's not even, that. That's exactly what I am. Did you hear me right? That is exactly where I was right now when I heard that. I mean, Josh Gordon got arrested for a DUI.
What?
Exactly. I mean, you, dude, you are trying to not get suspended for the whole season. Because that would just ruin your team up. I mean, if they don't have their best wide receiver on the football field this season, you're going to mess it up. So be good so that they can maybe hopefully reduce your suspension and you can get on the football field this year. What do you do? Josh Gordon arrested for a DUI.
What?
I don't even know what to say. Words don't even come out. It's just, that's what comes out. That's what comes out. I could not believe it. Oh, so there you go. That's one. Then on July 12th, the Baltimore Ravens, who are just all kinds of trouble and all kinds of mess this year, Jimmy Smith, their cornerback, was arrested for disorderly conduct. Apparently, it was once again late on a Saturday night, probably in the between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning kind of a deal. And Smith was apparently helping an intoxicated woman in the bathroom, and she became nauseated. And when medics arrived, they asked Smith to step aside, and he didn't want to comply. He would not move. And I don't know who the woman is. They didn't say who it was, but he became argumentative and started kind of pushing, and he wouldn't, you know, step into the hallway. And then police showed up, and they were trying to you know, move him along, and then it wasn't until finally they said that they were going to arrest him that he started to become a little bit cooperative. You know what? Just, I don't know. Maybe he was drunk, and maybe the woman was his girlfriend, and he didn't want them to find out that she had, you know, got sick all over in the bathroom on herself. I'm not sure why he would not move when the cops asked him to move. I know he was trying probably to be a gentleman, and it's kind of like what it seems maybe. I don't know the whole situation, but the last thing you need for your team, especially for the Baltimore Ravens, who have already had 4 arrests this summer, is to get arrested, and you become the 5th guy arrested this summer for the Baltimore Ravens. That's right. Jimmy Smith is the 5th Ravens player arrested this offseason. That's not good. That's not good for the organization. But it's not good for a person, especially who it sounds like maybe he was just trying to be chivalrous and do the right thing for this woman. But come on, Jimmy, you got to know better than that. On July 21st, Eagles safety Keelan Johnson was arrested. Get this. He was arrested for assaulting a police officer, then for passively resisting arrest and disorderly conduct. Now, that's going to town right there, okay? First, you want to beat up a police officer. You throw some shoves and a little scuffle with a cop, which come on, you're going to get into a fight with a cop? How dumb is that? Then you're asked to tell you to arrest, telling you to put your arms down so that they can handcuff you, and you don't want to lower your arms. They said he doesn't want to lower his arms. He didn't want to let the cops. I guess that's what passively resisting arrest is, because they're like, please lower your arms so we could handcuff you. And he's holding his arms up. He doesn't want to put his arms down. So I guess, you know, he's not, like, fighting to put his arms away, but he was passively resisting arrest. I guess that's what that is. And then, of course, disorderly conduct get all started because there was a bar fight. One of his homies in downtown Tempe, Arizona, got into a fight. And when the cops showed up, Johnson got a little belligerent with the cops, and he was yelling over them, and he was kind of like stopping them from their investigation. And then that's when he kind of bumped a cop, and then that turned into a scuffle. And so there's the assault on a cop, which, come on, you're going to fight a cop. How dumb is that? And so there's the disorderly conduct, and then they're going to arrest you, and you don't want to put your arms down to let them handcuff you. That is definitely probably the worst good old boy. And now, finally, this just in yesterday on July 23rd, Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Justin Blackmon was arrested for possession of marijuana. This happened last night on Wednesday, the 23rd. NFL media confirmed with Edmond, Oklahoma Police Department. Now, Justin Blackman's already serving an indefinite suspension. Okay? Did you hear that? An indefinite suspension that he is serving for all of the craziness that he's done in his past. He was supposedly, according to Jacksonville Jaguars, was going to be getting assistance and getting help in the Oklahoma City area. He was supposed to be keeping a low profile and hopefully getting some rehab help. And all of a sudden, boom, he gets pulled over for speeding. Traffic violation. Police pulled him over. He rolls down the window, and there's a smell of marijuana coming out of the window. And he comes out, and they talk to him about it. Then he admits it. He literally admitted to the police officers, "Yes, I was smoking a blunt while I was driving." They found another blunt in the vehicle, and the next thing is that Justin Blackmon didn't have any identification on him, no ID, no driver's license, nothing. So he was arrested for driving under the influence. And this time, that's why he's serving an indefinite suspension for the substance abuse policy, violating that. And now you add this to it. I don't know if the league lets him back into the league. I don't. The Jacksonville Jaguars have pretty much said Shad Khan said that he supported Blackmon. He's trying to get him help. But he indicated that he was in no position to release the wide receiver at this time. So he's still a Jacksonville Jaguar, but suspended indefinitely. And this certainly is not going to help his case. Four good old boys. There was another one. We just don't have time. We got to keep moving because it's time to talk about the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, and New York Football Jets. I'm excited. We are going to start right now in this episode with a new segment I call The Fans Take, where I've got fans representing almost every team in the National Football League. So without further ado, let's get to it. All right, joining me right now for the very first segment of Fans Take, representing the Buffalo Bills, Greg Campbell. Greg, how you doing, man?
Hey, Steven. I believe this is the first time that I have officially, by voice, been part of NFL Rants and Raves. Is that correct?
That I believe that is correct. We've communicated via email and Twitter and Facebook tons, but by voice, this is the first time. You're right.
And I've always been mentioned, on the show, Greg, the Bills fan. It's me. I'm real. I'm a person. I'm still a Bills fan.
Previously of the Buffalo Bills Review. Remember that?
That's right.
How long ago was the Buffalo Bills Review, Greg?
Well, we started the same year you guys did, 2005, right?
Yeah, yeah.
2005. And I did it for about 5 years, and then I passed it off to another guy who was doing the show with me in 2009, I believe. And yeah. Maybe it was 2010. It's hard to do a podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here it is.
Takes a lot of time.
And here I am rolling solo now.
You are.
It's different, but it's fun and it's rewarding, and I just love to talk about the sport. Now that training camps are here, I am ready to go. Speaking of training camps, the first training camp that opened, rookies for the Buffalo Bills, and you were just at Buffalo Bills camp, right?
Sunday night, a couple thousand people on hand, and we were some of them. My family and I went. got to see some of the very first practice. It was good.
Yeah, good. It was good. I like that. Well, I've got some questions for you. I'm just going to fire away, and then you just answer and answer as truthfully as you can. I know you're a fan, and you love the Buffalo Bills. They're your team. Sammy Watkins, wide receiver, was he worth giving up two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick? How does he look? What do you think? Is he the guy?
There's a viral video going around the internet today from today's practice, Wednesday. And it shows how amazing he is. You know, he's an amazing athlete, and he will definitely be fun to watch. It was fun seeing him in person. He's definitely big, strong, fast, can jump high. He's got great hands. Today's video, he stumbles in the end zone, but gets back up and makes an amazing one-handed stab catch. It's just crazy. So, is it worth it? That's a hard question to answer, right? He's going to be great, and he will score touchdowns, and he will be on the highlight shows. Will that be worth it? I actually don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, that's kind of that is a tough one. Until we actually see results on the football field, it is difficult.
You know, is it going to translate to wins? The Bills hope so, and it will at least be exciting. I know that from watching him in person and just the highlights that we've seen so far. So,
well, it's
that'll be fun.
It's too much to ask of a rookie to win games. So I'm going to now change focus to the quarterback. Is E.J. Manuel the man there in Buffalo, and will he improve from last season's performance?
Well, that's the question. That is the Buffalo Bills question. Honestly, this team, and I know I'm a fan, and I'm always an optimist, and so I see a team full of talent and depth, really, in every area. We have four amazing running backs. We've got, I don't know, like eight really good receivers, talented. We've got a pretty talented offensive line, a great defensive line, recognized around the NFL, you know, for talent and ability and everything. And it's there is so much talent on this team. And then there's E.J. Manuel.
Right.
And last year he showed some good signs of, you know, he obviously can make the throws, and he's pretty smart, and he's very calm, which is probably a good thing. But that's the big question. So that was my only hesitation from camp on Sunday was, boy, he did not look good.
Right, but
it was the very first practice.
First practice,
I mean, he's
right.
Missing. He's throwing balls in the dirt or the grass, I guess. And my oldest sons and I we all just looked at each other and kind of shook our heads because
well, you've got some
with all this talent, it would be so sad to waste it.
You've got some interesting things to say about Jeff Toole, right?
Yeah, so Jeff Toole, in fact, just today he was the Bills said that he is officially on even ground for the backup spot, which previously Thad Lewis was the front runner and sort of obvious backup. But Jeff Toole, the undrafted last year rookie quarterback, who, if I don't know if you remember or not, but he was actually scheduled to start week one last year because of injuries.
Yes.
Ended up EJ came back and he was able to start the first game. But anyway, this undrafted guy, the coaching staff loves him, and he is now officially getting even reps with Thad Lewis for the backup role. And it wouldn't surprise me if he even started to compete for the starting role if EJ has any trouble, or really if he has a lot of trouble, then they might actually give Jeff Toole time.
So you see a scenario.
Which is just funny.
That's right. You see a scenario where Jeff Toole could possibly overtake E.J. Manuel?
Wouldn't that be insane?
It would.
That would. Around the league, everyone would wonder, what in the world are the Buffalo Bills thinking? But the coaching staff just loves this guy. I mean, they tried to protect him last year from waivers, so they kept him on the active roster. And he did all right in the one game he played last year. He played against the Chiefs and really should have won that game, but he threw the interception that went the other way and turned the game around. And Bills ended up losing that one.
Well, that is certainly a battle there at camp that I'll be watching. Jeff Toole coming out of nowhere to take in the starting job.
Well, Bills fans and the Bills themselves, I'm sure, are really hoping that EJ can just be competent. If he can be competent, there is a lot of talent around him. So
yeah, there
then
is.
We won't see Jeff Toole unless he gets injured.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's the quarterback. Because Sammy Watkins, you pay all that for Sammy. You got to have somebody to throw the ball, right?
Yep, definitely.
Sammy will not be able to perform if there's nobody there to throw him the football.
Yep. At Sammy Watkins, CJ Spiller, Fred Jackson. There's a lot of young receivers. Robert Woods is pretty amazing. He'll fill right in where Stevie Johnson has gone. So, things are looking pretty good here in Buffalo. We just need to find out if EJ Manuel can really do it.
All right. Well, there's a lot of talk right now about the Buffalo Bills being sold in several groups. Kind of all fighting and biding their time to make a bid to purchase the team. You know, Bon Jovi met with or had lunch with Commissioner Roger Goodell earlier this summer in New York. You heard that. So is the Bon Jovi group, is that the team, the final kind of group that the team will be sold to, or is that not the case? Is there another group? And is this just sale going to be a distraction this season for the Buffalo Bills?
That's a good question, the last part. I don't know that. I mean, I haven't heard any player say anything about that, a distraction, or the coaches or even the front office people. I mean, it's definitely going on, and it has been since Ralph died a few months ago. I'm not sure. I don't remember when it was.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi thing. So what I've heard from, I don't remember his name, but there's a Toronto newspaper reporter, writer, who has been pretty up on this. And definitely from the Canadian side of interested buyers, that group is leading the way for sure.
Right.
I think there are two groups from Canada that are interested. But this guy, the writer, says that really – because of the way the lease was written, which Ralph helped to orchestrate before he died, and I think, at least from everything I've heard, what the NFL wants for the Buffalo Bills franchise, they do not want it to be moved, and it can't be moved, according to the lease, without great penalties. So I really don't think that either Bon Jovi's group or the other group from Canada really have a valid chance at the, you know, winning the bidding for the purchase. There's the Sabres current owner is in the mix there somewhere. He's a bazillionaire and loves Buffalo sports. Definitely would keep the team in the area. And, the former Sabres owner, actually, Tom Galfano, is also in the picture, and several other people who have ties to Buffalo. And I really think from everything I'm hearing around here that will be that's a major factor for this. There's a trust, I guess, of people that are assigned the responsibility of selling the team to someone who is going to keep it in Buffalo.
So you can buy the Buffalo Bills, you just can't take them out of Buffalo. Is that it?
Right. Yeah, it's written into the lease, I believe, of the stadium, which is 7 years, I want to say, maybe 10 years. And then it's also in the trust. I'm not sure I'm using the right word there, but
yeah.
Something that Ralph Wilson left for that trust to use to decide who to sell the team to. So,
all right,
it's more interesting to say that Bon Jovi might buy the team, but I really don't think he has much of a chance.
Well, one final question before I let you go, and this is we're listening to Greg Campbell, the first ever Fans Take. Gentlemen coming on, talking and repping the Buffalo Bills. Last year, the Bills won 6 games in the regular season. They were 6-10. Do they win more games or the same amount of games or less games than last year?
Well, your second question, it all comes down to EJ Manuel. And if he doesn't just completely ruin everything, then Yeah, they're going to win more than six games this year. I believe that they can easily compete for the division. It's kind of it's funny because there's some talent in the AFC East, and there's also not talent. It's kind of a good time for the Bills to be gaining all of this depth and talent on their team. So the problem is the main position, the quarterback. It is definitely possible for him to lose some games for us.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I see them with the first winning season since 2004. And
wow.
Honestly, I believe 2014 is the year they finally make it back to the playoffs.
Well, there you go. Greg Campbell, we see the Buffalo Bills first in the Hall of Fame game. They're hosting the New York Giants at Fawcett Stadium on August 3rd. So that's just right around the corner. We'll get to see them. Obviously, we won't see the starters much, but I hope we get to see a little bit of EJ Manuel in that game.
Boy, I hope they play him a quarter at least.
Yeah.
It's time for him to – they really need him to shine.
Yeah.
Not even shine. That's the wrong word. They don't really need him to start. They got all the other players. They just need him to play well and competent, and it starts August 3rd.
I am looking at their schedule, and the Bills, the AFC East this year, play the NFC North. Packers,
yeah.
Bears, Vikings, Lions. So that's going to be tough in and of itself. Of course, they got the Patriots twice. They got the Jets twice. I don't know how well the Jets are going to play. But
The Bills picked up Brandon Spikes from the Patriots this year.
Yeah.
And the day that he got here, he was talking trash against his former team and how the Bills are going to beat him twice this year.
You know what? It's the Patriots are not the Patriots of old. That is for sure. And it's going to.
I like the Patriots' defense. I think they've got a pretty solid defense, and there are a lot of young guys too. But right, Tom Brady isn't he 38 this year?
Yeah, he's pretty old.
I mean, he's still Tom Brady, but
on the older side of old. How about that?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thanks a lot for joining us. This has been Fans Take. Repping the Buffalo Bills, Greg Campbell. Thanks a lot, man.
Go Bills.
So Greg and I, you know what, we don't really agree about the Buffalo Bills. I do agree that there's no way that whoever buys the Buffalo Bills is going to move them out of the Buffalo area. I think whoever buys them is going to keep them there in Buffalo. I think they're destined to stay there for a very long time, and that's just the way it goes if you want the Buffalo Bills. But I don't see them winning all that many games. You know, as much as I'd like to be on the Buffalo Bill bandwagon, I just don't see it, and I don't know where they win that many games. And so that's where Greg and I disagree. But that's the Buffalo Bills. Now here comes the Miami Dolphins, a team that I liked a lot last year, even though they only finished last year at 8-8. But the Miami Dolphins had a solid draft. I guess the biggest question for the Miami Dolphins is their offensive line. Last year, they gave up a franchise record 58 sacks. 58 sacks of Ryan Tannehill last year. Not good. Some of those were Tannehill's fault. He just held the ball on too long. But still, that's a very, very poor offensive line job. Of course, they had the whole Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin fiasco, and that kind of messed up their offensive line a little bit. But they did sign a free agent left tackle Brandon Albert to a 5-year, $47 million contract. They, in the first three rounds, took two offensive linemen in Billy Turner and Juwan James. Juwan James, who was their first-round pick. So they're trying to make that an area of need. They've tried to address it. I'm pretty sure Juwan James will start on the offensive line. And then with the addition, of course, of Brandon Albert. Now, they did get some bad news today. Mike Pouncey reportedly is going to start on the PUP list. So that's a kind of a blow to the offensive line. But I think they're going to get better. I think the question is there's a new offensive coordinator in town in Miami, and Bill Lazor, and or Lazor, I'm sorry. And it's going to see who's going to run the football for him. Lamar Miller, he was going to be the guy last year, and then all of a sudden it didn't quite turn out to be he didn't quite turn out the runner that they had anticipated, and that kind of hurt. They brought in Knowshon Moreno. He's been a question mark. Obviously not being able to participate in practices all that much, and I think now he's scheduled to undergo surgery. So it's kind of interesting there in Miami. And then still at the wide receiver position, it's not like they have a whole bunch of superstar guys. They have a lot of talented guys at wide receiver, but there's not a name other than Mike Wallace that say, hey, he's a superstar. And even Mike Wallace struggled last year in that offense. So is he going to become better? Brian Hartline is kind of like their go-to guy. It's going to be very interesting to see how the offense does defensively. I kind of like the defense of the of the Miami Dolphins a little bit. I think they can be better than they were last year, and they certainly, I believe, can be better than 8-8. I think the Miami Dolphins are primed this year to compete for the division again with the New England Patriots. And so the Patriots, you know, they're obviously the New England Patriots. They cakewalk through the division almost every year. And last year, I think the Miami turmoil kind of handed them the division because up until there for a while, they were in a dogfight with the Dolphins. And I think they're going to be in a dogfight with the Dolphins again this year. Speaking that of the New England Patriots, let's bring in an old friend of the show. All right, for my second Fans Take segment, representing the New England Patriots, big man Nacho's in the house. What's up, Nacho?
Hey, how's it going, Steven? I hope this is one of the times in which you are actually recording. It's not one of those times in which, holy cow, I realized too late and forgot to press record. After
Come on, why are you going to throw me under the bus like that, buddy?
It has happened before.
Has it happened before under my watch? Remember, this is now Steven Miranda going solo now.
Yeah. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus in particular. You know?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus either. But no, we are recording. Welcome to the show, man. This is what, your second or third appearance on the show?
It's my second. I was briefly on at the very, very beginning via Skype, briefly with a very short, you know, with Jeff. But that was, you know, season one. I was living in France back then. So, you know, it's been a long, long time. Very excited to be back on.
Well, glad to have you. Very happy. And now you're representing the New England Patriots. Let's take a look at them because, you know, you say New England Patriots and everybody's like, oh, the evil empire. You know, we even do the Empire March, right? But I'm not sure this is the same New England Patriots team. Should we fear the New England Patriots this year?
I mean, I guess that, you know, the evil empire thing came, you know, in 2007 when they were, you know, beating up everyone, you know, 40-something to 7. And that has sort of, you know, stuck with it. I guess I'm you know, from what I hear, from what I read, I guess this year it's going to be more of a, or this is you know, what initially what they think, but more of a defense. You know, the focus and the advantage of the Patriots is going to come from the defense. Now, I'm not sure about that. I know we're getting a good amount of pieces back that were, you know, key pieces that went down very early last year. Gerald Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Tommy Kelly, you know, Jamie Collins played great last stretch of the season. I don't know how all that is going to, you know, because know, there's questions about the Tommy Kelly's and Vince Wilfork.
Yeah,
health.
I agree with you. I mean, I like the defense of the New England Patriots. It looks okay. My question is where you're going right there with Wilfork and Kelly. That offensive line, yeah. Do they have pass rushers? Are they going to be able to get to the quarterback?
I mean, their first draft pick was a defensive tackle because you don't know what you're getting out of those guys. Now, secondary got much better, no question about that. I guess no one has any doubts that Darrell Revis is a great addition. They lost Talib, but most of the people would take a Darrell Revis over Talib, even though Revis was out, also a good chunk of last year too. So if it's a big if, but if all these pieces come back and play to the level they've been playing this last year, it could be a great season defensively. But like I said, it's a big if. Everybody's talking defense and hyped about the defense. I want to see it first. I want to see what it looks like and how all these pieces are combined together. Because like you say, I don't know what kind of a pass rush we're gonna get from these guys playing together.
All right, well, let's say the defense pans out and plays okay. Let's look at the offensive side of the ball. We got Tom Brady, who's going to be, 37, 38 years old, obviously getting older. And then the New England Patriots, obviously, they have that unpredictable backfield. You never know who's going to run the ball. Is it Ridley, Shane Vereen, LeGarrette Blount? Who are they going to throw out there? We never know. Then – I guess the big question mark for me is at the wide receiver position. Do they have someone? I mean, obviously right now Gronkowski's been cleared. At least Belichick says he's been cleared to play. I don't know whatever that means from Belichick, but he's been cleared to play. How is the is Tom Brady going to have offensive weapons to throw the football to? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, well, the best analysis coming up, about the QB situation there in New England is, did you see Giselle Bundchen there on the, on the final of the World Cup?
Yes, I did see Giselle Bundchen.
Well, you should have. And I hope, most of the fans out there didn't see her because, oh my Lord. Anywho, I mean, I'm one of those that think that, on the quarterback side, Brady has two more left on the tank.
Okay.
Three more left in the tank. So
I say stop with two, but okay.
He's been around for 15 years now, and even though he's top two, top quarterback in the league, no question about it. In those situations in which he had that, extra something that, gets the job done. They played against the Denver Broncos there in the conference last year, and that was a heck of a team. But I just don't see it anymore. I hope I'm wrong, personally, but I just don't see it anymore.
So what are they doing? What are they doing at the running back position? Then can you tell me? Because that is the one team where, especially in fantasy football, I just avoid the running backs for the New England Patriots. Because check this out: they finished ninth overall last year in rushing attempts. They rushed 470 times, but not a single rusher rushed for over 1,000 yards. How is that even possible?
It's a big committee there. It's a big, running by that committee. I mean, you mentioned LeGarrette Blount. He's gone. I think he signed with the Steelers. But again, last year he played. He got a bigger role just because of Seven Wheatley fumbling issues. I hope those have been taken care of during the off season. Because he's a talented running back, but you cannot give him the ball. And then Devin Ridley, I think his role is pretty much been established, and he's like the third down kind of Danny Woodhead or Kevin Falk kind of role. So I think it's, you know, they're going to mix it up. I don't know. They might, you know, have some, you know, undrafted rookie out of, you know, out of their rear end that they plug in there and start doing things. Brandon Bolden's still around. They mix him up a little bit. So I agree with you. It's very unpredictable, and that's the way you like to, you know, they game plan for the opponent. And for some, they use someone more than other ones, and that's why it's impossible to you know, and I don't recommend anyone taking a high, you know, value draft pick in doing, you know, for fantasy on a New England running back. I mean, it's impossible to tell. I mean, it's Belichick. It's, you know, it's enough set, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the other thing is if you just look at the wide receivers that they have right now in camp, outside of Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman, there's really not a name that sticks out that, man, these guys are just going to be awesome. I know that they're going to hope Kimbrel,
yeah,
Tompkins.
You,
go ahead.
Yeah, and mind you, Danny Amendola, he was, you know, he was dinged up last year. I still don't know what we're getting out
he's
of him.
He's dinged up every year, so you don't know if he's going to play 16 games or not.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a shocker anymore. But, you know, Julian Edelman, I think it's great that they, you know, managed to you know, re-sign because he was Brady's favorite target. He picked up where Welker left off. Garhew, he was, you know, I'm not saying he was, you know, at the level that Welker was, but he was, you know, he caught, you know, in the neighborhood of 100, you know, 100 balls. So it was good to have him around. I know we signed Brandon LaFell, but then again, you know, if you start looking at the roster, you know, one of those guys is not the team, whether it's Amendola, whether it's LaFell, whether it's Tompkins. Brady liked to throw to Tompkins, but, you know, he was not mature enough, I guess, to, you know, handle that kind of pressure of being the, you know, the go-to guy at the last season. He kind of picked it up, you know, as the season went along. I don't know where that relationship and that rapport, you know, stays right now. And then Aaronson, who they drafted, you know, reasonably high in not just draft, but the year before. I don't know. He also has been dinged up. So, you know, the good thing about this is that Gronkowski's back. And
for three
and
games until he breaks his arm again. Oh, that was mean. Well, I was just mean.
I don't know. We've seen him dancing and partying, so he, you know, that's always a good sign, I guess.
Dancing and partying, that's right. All right, well, I'm going to leave you with this question then before we go. Once again, we're talking with Nacho representing the New England Patriots in Van's take. The Patriots were 12-4 last year. They won the division, the AFC East. They were the number 2 seed overall, just behind the Denver Broncos, who finished at 13-3. So at 12-4, did the New England Patriots win more games, less games, or the same amount of games this year?
I'm going to be conservative. I'm going to say the same amount of games. I'm going to predict they go 12-4. I think the division got better. And by the way, so I read that prediction. So that's out of the way. I said they go 12-4, but I think it's a good point to bring this up. Now, do you remember that I, you know, proved empirically to you that you have such strong, you know, hate feelings for the New England Patriots that you're in no position to perform thoughtful analysis on them?
I can perform thoughtful analysis on the New England Patriots. I have, and I've done so. I just think now Tom Brady's old. He doesn't have anybody to throw the football to. He doesn't have a reliable running back in the backfield. And their defense, although it's pretty good in the back, it's suspect up front. They have no pass rushers. This is not the New England Patriots of old. And there's no way that they win 12 games, Nacho. No way they win 12 games this year.
Now let me try, you know, for all the fans out there, ladies out, and this is a process that I put.
No, we don't have time for that right now, Nacho.
Yes.
We don't. Next time. Next time you come back, you can lay it down. We'll open with you laying it down on how you proved that I can't be objective on the New England Patriots.
You know you're going down with that, so you don't want to do it.
All right, we'll do it. We will do. I promise you. I'm sure the New England Patriots. We will have you on more throughout the year to talk more about the Patriots, but we don't need to get into those details just today.
Sure. No, but, you know what? That's also fine because it's, well past midnight over here.
Yes, it is. So you need to go to bed. Thank you very much for joining us all the way from Spain, right?
That's right. Although I'm back home. I was living in the United States for a little while, but I'm back home now.
He's back home in Spain. Thank you very much. The New England Patriots, Nacho says they'll win 12 games again. I don't think they win more than 10, but we'll see. Thanks a lot, Nacho.
We'll see. Take care, buddy.
Oh, that Nacho, what a guy. He was going to throw me under the bus. He was. And I do believe that one of these days I will have to obviously let him go about and tell you his proof as to why I cannot talk about the New England Patriots. But there's no way, and as I told him, I do not see the Patriots winning 12 games. All right, finally in the AFC East, the New York Jets, the bad boys, the the bad news bears, if you will, of the division. Last year, the Jets finished at 8-8 in an up-and-down season with then-rookie Geno Smith. So that's the first question I have for the Jets. You know, it's the quarterback question. And I guess in this league now, in the National Football League, it always comes down to the quarterback, right? And who's it going to be? Is it Geno Smith or is Michael Vick, who they brought in during free agency, going to be the guy? I don't envision a scenario in my mind where Michael Vick is not the starter. I think Michael Vick is a better football player than Geno Smith today. And if that's why they brought him in, then there's going to be a quarterback competition. And soon enough, there's going to be a question. If Geno Smith is the starter, everyone's going to be like, hey, why is Michael Vick there if he is playing better football than Geno Smith, looks better than Geno Smith, is more mature and more veteran than Geno Smith? Why isn't Michael Vick started? Why did you bring him in? It's that same situation as to why they brought Tim Tebow in. I never knew why the Jets brought Tim Tebow in. Never gave him a chance. And are they going to do the same thing with Michael Vick? Look, I like Rex Ryan. I've always liked Rex Ryan. He's a great coach. But once again, if you look at their draft this year, he went defense. Number one pick in the I think, 18th pick overall. They went with free safety Calvin Pryor. Then they took, in the third round, they took another quarterback in Dexter McDougal. In the second round, they took a tight end. They don't need a tight end, all right? That leads me to the next question. Who are they going to throw the ball to? Even if they decide it's Michael Vick or Geno Smith, who are they going to throw the football to? Currently, they've got 12 wide receivers on the roster. 12 wide receivers, and only one of them, Eric Decker, has been successful. And I think the only reason Eric Decker was successful with the Broncos is because he was fortunate enough to take advantage of other wide receivers getting double coverage rolled their way. So Eric Decker had single coverage and he took advantage of that. Well, guess what, Eric? You're the guy now in New York. Do you realize that? Eric Decker is the guy at wide receiver for the New York Football Jets. And he is no longer going to benefit from defenses rolling coverage to Demaryius Thomas or having to watch somebody watch Wes Welker. He is going to be the guy because I tell you what, they've had Stephen Hill. He didn't pan out. They still have Jeremy Curley. He hasn't panned out. They brought in David Nelson, who's kind of gone around all over the place. They brought in Jacoby Ford, who has a lot of speed, but he hasn't really been all that successful. And he's short, 5'9", was 190, injury prone. So I don't know what the New York Jets are going to do at the wide receiver position. And then you got running the ball. Remember, ground and pound, they run the ball, they bring Chris Johnson. But which Chris Johnson is going to show up for the New York Jets? Is it going to be the I can rush for 2,000 yards, Chris Johnson, and he can, you know, got really close to 2,000 yards? Or is it going to be last year's Chris Johnson, who only averaged about 65 yards a game? Is that because if that's the Chris Johnson that shows up to play for New York, it's not going to be really good. They still have a solid defense because of Rex Ryan and because of his defensive schemes and because he continues to bring in great talent on the defensive side of the ball. It's a pretty solid defense. I just don't see them. I don't see them improving from last year. They didn't get better. Offensively, they didn't get better. Defensively, I think they're the same. And last year, they were 8-8. So I still think that the New York Jets are only a 7-8 win team. So it's going to be rough. I was big proponent of the Jets last year, last couple years, and they kind of just did not improve. They kind of just got stagnant and then got stale. And this whole, we don't know, you know, I think Geno Smith's going to be the starter. We brought in Michael Vick to back him up. Please, on what planet does anybody think Geno Smith is a better quarterback than Michael Vick? Do the Jets really believe that? And if they do, they got a serious problem evaluating talent. Now, I don't think Michael Vick is the greatest quarterback on the face of the planet, but he's a better option than Geno Smith at this point. So let's see how the Jets play out this season. It's a tough schedule. And once again, it's going to be hard-pressed for them to find a winning season. Now, before I get out of here, I got a workout to get to. I'll get to my player interview for this week. Joining me right now, linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, Nick Roach. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks. The Oakland Raiders are going to be traveling to London this year. Are you ready for that trip?
Yes. You know, I've been, I think, 2 or 3 years ago with Chicago. We went over there and played Tampa Bay. So, familiar with the travel.
So, it is your second time. Yeah, I remember I kind of got in trouble with head coach Lovie Smith at the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I said that I thought he had made a mistake waiting to not travel to London until Friday. And he kind of thought that was a little funny. So he kind of took a jab at my expense there during the press conference. But we made up after you guys won the game. We made up. It was all good. How has it been the transition coming from the Chicago Bears now being an Oakland Raider?
Yeah, it's been a lot different. Obviously, just scheme wise, and you know, kind of coaching styles and just the whole deal. Obviously playing in 70 degrees most of the year. It's not a bad transition either. But overall, it's been great, honestly. You know, I really enjoyed kind of getting to know this scheme a little bit more, you know, seeing how this scheme likes to attack people and put pressure on offenses. You know, so it's been good, man, and my teammates. You know, I love the guys that I work with. So I can't complain.
Yeah, and you were you led the team in tackles, correct, last season with about 112 tackles. So congratulations for that. How do you feel this defense is going to look moving forward?
Well, we're always hopeful. You know, we always feel like we have a chance to really put some heat on people. So I think this year is no different than that. We got some new guys that we're trying to get, you know, to the point where we can all get it together and we'll be hitting, you know, kind of leaving off or starting off, sorry, where we left off at our good points last year.
You grew up in Wisconsin, correct?
Yes, sir.
I heard you were a basketball and track star. How did you transition to playing football? What pushed you in that direction?
I'm pretty sure star would be a term to use loosely, but I played three sports mostly growing up just because, you know, my mom's deal was either you got to, you know, get a job or play sports. And I wasn't really interested in working at the time, so I just played as much as I could. And then get football when I got to high school. I didn't play my freshman year, but then the coaches and the principal kept kind of asking, hey, you should just come out and give it a shot, and it ended up being probably the thing that I was better at, you know, naturally better than the other, you know, track and basketball. So.
All right, so wait a minute. So now your mom had a rule, you play sports or you got to go to work. That's the rule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't – basically, the gist of it was you can't sit around the house. you know. So
yeah,
either you're gonna be at work or you're gonna be on the team.
I like that rule. I may have to implement that in my house.
Yeah, I keep from freeloading. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's true, Nick. So I'm gonna interesting question that I've got here. You know, the Washington Redskins, obviously with their name, they're having this issue. What's your opinion on that? Should they change their mascot?
You know, it's hard to say. Not really hearing too much about the whole situation, but I do have some like close relatives with Native American heritage, and I guess they feel you know, a certain way about it, which is, you know, you got to respect what they've been through. So, you know, see how it works out. Hold on one second.
All right, so Nick had to leave us there. I'm still not sure. I was told by the PR department that he had to get back to a practice. I thought all the practices were done for the day. I'm not sure if they liked that last question, but that's their prerogative. Nick Roach is a nice guy. Thank you for answering the question. But, you know, it's touchy. I actually was not going to bring up the whole Washington Redskins mascot. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to go in deep. I'm already at 1:15 for the show, so I'm going to pass on that subject. I will talk about it on our next show, where we take a look at the AFC North. But for today, just to recap, here's what I've talked about. I said layoff of Johnny Manziel. I think he's a good kid, and he's just a kid doing what kids do who have a lot of money. I'd like to thank Greg Campbell for joining me on the Fans Take and talking about the Buffalo Bills. I'd like to thank Nacho for talking about the New England Patriots. I think the Dolphins are going to be better than they were last year, and the Jets will be the same or worse, especially if they decide to go with Geno Smith over Michael Vick. Tony Dungy and his take on why he wouldn't draft Michael Sam, I'm going to take him as his word. I think that man has earned the respect, at least to you know, take him at his word, and he wasn't trying to say that he wouldn't draft him because of his sexual orientation. And not very happy about Ray Rice only getting suspended 2 games by the NFL. And Jamal Charles getting his money and back at practice for the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, Marshawn Lynch will continue to hold out as he seeks more money. That's all the time I've got here at NFL Rants and Raves. I got to get to my workout boot camp. I've been doing that for 5 weeks now, losing a little bit of weight, getting back into shape. Hopefully at some point I will retry the conditioning test that I failed so miserably at. I want to thank you all for answering the question on Facebook. I'll get into a little bit more deep into that question on the next show, where I ask, who do you think the team is that could surprise this season, and which team is likely to fall flat? Very interesting answers I've got there. So once again, thank you very much for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.